going to look today that I'm a man of God in the Old Testament and study his life and why his life was successful and why he was prosperous in that. I want you to take your Bibles with me right now, if you would, please, and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy 31. We're going to start reading here in a moment in verse 14. Once you get your Bible open, the next thing I want you to do is put your sandals on, and because we're going out here a little bit and back in the time of wearing sandals and see this one godly man. 31:14 of Deuteronomy. And the Lord said unto Moses, Behold, thy days approach that thou must die. Call Joshua and present yourselves in the tabernacle of the congregation, that I may give him a charge. And Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves in the tabernacle of the congregation. And the Lord appeared in the tabernacle in a pillar of a cloud, and the pillar of the cloud stood over the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord said unto Moses, Behold, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, and this people will rise up and go a-whoring after the gods of the strangers of the land, whither they go to be among them, and will forsake me and break my covenant which I have made with them. Then my anger shall be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured, and many evils and troubles shall befall them, so that they will say in that day, Are not these evils come upon us, because our God is not among us? And I will surely hide my face in that day for all the evils which they shall have wrought, and that they are turned unto other gods. Now therefore, write ye this song for you, and teach it to the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths, that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel. For when I shall have brought them into the land which I swear unto their fathers, that floweth with milk and honey, and they shall have eaten and filled themselves and waxen fat, then they will turn unto other gods, and serve them, and provoke me, and break my covenant. And it shall come to pass, when many evils and troubles are befallen them, that this song shall testify against them as a witness. For it shall not be forgotten out of their mouths of their seed. For I know their imagination which they go about, even now before I have brought them into the land which I swear. Moses, therefore, wrote this song in the same day and taught it to the children of Israel. And gave Joshua, the son of Nun, a charge and said, Be strong and of a good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them, and I will be with thee. Now turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 34, just a few more verses I want to read there, beginning in verse 5. Deuteronomy 34 and verse 5. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab over against Beth Peor. But no man knoweth of this sepulchre unto this day. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom. For Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him, and did as the Lord commanded Moses. There arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. And all the signs and the wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all this land. And in all that mighty hand and in all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of Israel. Now if you think for a moment, we're going to look at the person of Joshua. And think what he was facing at that moment. Moses is there, and God's giving Moses the instructions, talking about the children of Israel, what they're going to do, and even after they possess the land, that they're going to turn again and go into that. And poor Joshua at this moment is hearing this. What a message to be given. You know, I kind of related it to a school teacher. When a school teacher comes into a new classroom, and everybody says, you don't want that classroom. The last five teachers in that classroom spent 1 year and they quit teaching after they've had that classroom. And what do you say? Wow, I'm excited. I can't wait to get in there. But it's kind of a fearful thing to do. And you think at this point in time with Joshua, because Moses says, now Joshua, be of good courage. You be strong. You be strengthened because you've got a lot to face. You've got a lot of things before you at this time. And when he read all these things, I think of the fear that possibly would have come to his heart. And yet Joshua was this great leader that God had chosen after Moses, and he was this great leader that God had used. Well, what happened that made him such a great leader? Well, we want to go to the book of Joshua now, chapter 1, and I would invite you to stand with me. We're going to read some of these verses here, and then we're going to look at them and see what made Joshua this great leader. Joshua chapter 1, would you stand, please, as we read this passage from the Word of God. Joshua chapter 1, beginning in verse 1 through 9. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Loving Father, we thank you for the Word of God and even the Scripture that we've read thus far, and trust that the Word of God might have found a place in our hearts and our lives, that might bring a challenge to our lives. If we see the challenges that were set before Joshua and how God was with him and how he blessed him and how he directed him, we pray, Lord, that we might see these things and be able to make application of our own hearts and our lives, that we might be your servants faithfully in the days in which we live. So bless this time together in thy word, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We're going to look at seven biblical prescriptions for prosperity that Joshua had, and these seven things that he had and made him the leader that he was at that point in time. And I want you to relate with those, make the application to yourself as we get through these things. These are all great things for us. And how are we going to get through the life in which we live without this and have prosperity? As God said to Joshua there, you're going to be prosperous. You're going to have prosperity. Here's how it is. How are we going to be prosperous in the things of the Lord? So we're going to look at seven different prescriptions, biblical prescriptions for prosperity. First one is a servant's attitude. Verses 1 and 2 of Joshua chapter 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Now we've looked at Moses, this great leader, but we're going to pay our emphasis here to Joshua and what was in his life. You know, all of the great leaders throughout the Scripture, if you read about any of them, they were great servants. When we look at the leadership, it wasn't because they were so smart, so intelligent, so great. It was because they were a great servant of God. And the first principle we see here today is Joshua was had a servant's attitude, a servant's spirit in what he did. You know, our purpose in life, of course, is to serve Christ first, others second, and ourselves last. We often call it joy. Jesus, others, you. That's the way our lives should be spent, that we put Jesus Christ first in all things. We have a servant's attitude. We serve others before we come to ourselves. Unfortunately, in our world today, in our world system in which we live, it's turned around a little bit. It's all about me. You know, what's in it for me? What can I get out of this for my own life and do those things? Paul wrote in Philippians 2:3, he wrote, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Putting others before ourselves. Christ first, others second, and ourselves last. But again, as we say, the carnal Christian cries out even in this day and age, well, what am I going to get out of it? I remember as a little boy, my mother would send me to the grocery store, and she would give me a dime to go get a loaf of bread. Now you know how old I was and am. And she'd give me a dime to go to get there. And she'd say, Ross, will you go up to the store and get me a loaf of bread? And I'd say, yes, Mama. I was such a loving little boy. But then my next question was, can I spend a change on a piece of candy? You know, what's in it for me? I was a carnal little Christian even then, that I was always looking out for myself. What am I going to get out of it? It's so much in our lives. Rather than having this servant spirit, we have that spirit. Joshua was jealous not only for the glory of God, but also for the honor and authority of Moses. Joshua had a purpose. He was a servant leader at this time. But you notice after the great and peculiar work of his life was accomplished, he no longer held the same place, exclusive place at the head of Israel as before. Turn to Joshua 11, if you will, just one verse there, in verse 15. It says here, and as the Lord commanded Moses, his servant, so did Moses command Joshua, and so did Joshua. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses. His work, in essence, was finished with what God had called him to do at that specific time. But he had done and left nothing undone. Why? He was a servant of God, and he put himself there. He had this servant's attitude, this servant's spirit that he would have at that time. He wasn't blind to the realities of the situation which he was going to face. Moses has already told him what kind of a people you're going to be leading and directing at this period of time. But he didn't allow the problems and the difficulties to rob him of his faith in God. He was a servant to God. And all those difficulties that he might face, he was God's servant. The second thing I want us to note this morning is he had a biblical perspective. He had a biblical perspective, and so should we. Verse 2 again, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Moses is dead. He says, go over Jordan. That was a fact. And he said, now, Moses is going to die. And Moses said to him also, your responsibility is to take them across the Jordan and claim the promised land for yourself at that time. You know, Moses is dead, but his work has to continue. And the work had to continue in that. And the thing that Joshua had to do was be willing to follow Moses' leadership at that time. The scripture tells us there, and we read that back in chapter 34 of Deuteronomy, that they wept after Moses died for 30 days. And for 30 days, there was nothing but weeping. But you know, the time comes when the weeping needs to be over. The mourning has to be over. Because there's things that must be accomplished. And we have to have a biblical perspective in what we're going to do. God, what do you have for me at this time? You know, it's time to get up. It's time to get going instead of mourning about the past. Have you ever heard this? I have, because I said it. Concentrate in the good old days. Remember the good old days? Some of you teenagers are looking at me like, what are you talking about? We don't know the good old days. But do you live in the good old days? My mind goes back so many times to the good old days. And I think of some of the church services I was in and some of the things that I saw and people come forward and get saved and everything. And so much excitement in the good old days. And we call that. But you know, as much as I like and enjoy looking back in the good old days, it's time to realize that I need to do something today. I can't live back there. I'm living today, right now. You know, they say we used to live in the sweet by and by, but now we're living in the nasty now and now. And we have to do something. We have to get ourselves activated and be doing something for the Lord today. Every morning, I suggest this to you, before your feet hit the floor, when you wake up in the morning, just say this, Lord, what would you have me to do today? What do you have in store for me today? What do you want from me? What out of my life today? And you know, it's not what I think. Well, I think I got to do this. And I think I got, no, Lord, what do you want me to do? And you know, his answer is always found in the Word of God. So my suggestion is read some scripture, devotional maybe you're reading or some scripture at that time and say, Lord, what's in this today? What do you want me to accomplish today? Why? Because I want to have a biblical perspective. I don't want to have a perspective that says this is what I want to do and this is what I've got to do. No, what does God want me to do? Giving him the priority in my heart and in my life. And then the third thing I want us to notice this morning, place our confidence in the Lord. place our confidence in the Lord. Look at verse 5 and verse 6 of Joshua 1. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. You know, this wasn't only God is speaking to him. It's not only what he said to Moses, but now he says to Joshua. But can I say even further that we might apply that to our own hearts and our lives? This is what he says to me. And this is what God says to me today. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. What a promise. God will not fail me. He will not forsake me whatsoever. Now, Joshua had a lot of things in front of him that he had to look for at that time and had to have his confidence in the Lord. He was going to be going into battles, and he had to lead them in battle against foes more numerous and more prepared than they were. They had just got done wandering in the wilderness for these 40 years, and it's not like they built up as an army during that period of time. And God would say, go in and take this land, and we know they were going into Jericho to destroy the land, and we think of what they were headed and what they had before them, and how are we going to do this? And do you think when God told them what they should do, march around the city, and then finally on that seventh day, blow the trumpets and shout, and the walls would fall down, and they'd conquer the city? What would you and I have done if God told us to do something like that? Well, that's silly. How's that going to accomplish anything? But what did they do? They destroyed Jericho at that time because they looked to God and their confidence was in the Lord. And Joshua says, we're going to follow God. I know God will take care of us. He said, I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. And my confidence can be totally in him. Joshua was an interesting person. Go back to chapter 7 and verse 19. Because of thinking of Joshua, he always combined justice. He was a magistrate with gentleness as a man. When he had to bring anything together, he showed that spirit. And Joshua, in verse 19, this is talking about Achan after Achan had stolen the accursed thing. And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. You notice how he handled a situation, was a difficult situation, even with Achan at that point in time. His spirit was to be kind, was to be helpful, but yet firm in what he was doing at that period of time. Go back to chapter 17 with me, if you will. See something else concerning this man, Joshua. Joshua chapter 17. I don't want to just note verses 14 through 18. And this is how he combined spirit as a ruler with temper and discretion in dealing with the arrogant and exacting people. Joshua 17:14 says this, and the children of Joseph spake unto Joshua, saying, why hast thou given me but one lot and one portion to inherit, seeing I'm a great people, for as much as the Lord hath blessed me hitherto? And Joshua answered them, if thou be a great people, then get thee up to the wood country and cut down for thyself there in the land of the Perizzites and of the giants, if Mount Ephraim be too narrow for thee. And the children of Joseph said, the hill is not enough for us, and the Canaanites that dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron, both they who are of Bethshean and her towns, and they who are of the valley of Jezreel. And Joshua spake unto the house of Joseph, even to Ephraim and to Manasseh, saying, thou art a great people and hast great power. Thou shalt not have one lot only, but the mountain shall be thine, for it is a wood, and thou shalt cut it down, and the outgoings of it shall be thine. For thou shalt drive out the Canaanites, though they have iron chariots, and though they be strong. It wasn't that he was jumping on them and says, what's the matter with you people? Why are you complaining? Look at the land you've already received. You ought to be happy with what you have this time. I mean, you know what Joshua is saying? Have your confidence in the Lord. Have your faith in him. Trust in him that he will supply these things, whichever in your life. Chapter 19, just another example of Joshua at this time. 19. And verses 49 through 51. When they had made an end of dividing the land for inheritance by their coast, the children of Israel gave an inheritance to Joshua, the son of Nun, among them. According to the word of the Lord, they gave him the city which he asked, even Timnath-Serah in Mount Ephraim. And he built the city and dwelt therein. These are the inheritance which Eleazar the priest and Joshua, the son of Nun, and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel divided for an inheritance by lot in Shiloh before the Lord. at the door of the tabernacle. So the congregation, or a tabernacle of the congregation, so they made an end of dividing the country. What's Anglican at this point in time? He was diligent, but he was equitable with all the people in dispensing of the fruits of victory with a complete unselfishness, and he regarded not himself. All the land is parsed out to everyone. And Joshua says, okay, now I'll take mine. What a spirit he had. His confidence was in the Lord that whatever God gave to him was going to be something great. He was just waiting upon God to give that leadership in his heart and his life. You see, God's people today live on promises, not explanations. Just live on promises. God said, I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. He never forgot that. That stuck with him wherever he was. And by God's grace, would it stick with you and with me today? That we would have that. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. The confidence that you and I can have in an eternal God at this point in time. I think perhaps one of the most conspicuous things about all things was his humility, his spirit. From first to last, his valor and his victories are referred to as God, the giver. Not Joshua, no, God, the giver. Everything pointed back to God. And his own personal work and the achievements of his life, there in his last address, scarcely one word is about Joshua, about everybody else. Servant's attitude that we see that he had. How he loved the Lord and how he placed his confidence in the Lord. Then let's look at the fourth one. Maintain a biblical balance. Verse 7 of Joshua 1. Maintain a biblical balance. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses thy servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Unfortunately today, Christians in the main, in general, we might say today, are out of balance. They come and they concentrate just on certain doctrines of the scripture at that point in time, or convictions, and I put quote marks besides convictions because most of the time it's their own convictions, not those convictions of God. But they talk about all those things and they judge everyone accordingly. Whatever I think is right and you're wrong. And unfortunately, that's the attitude so often, and there's not a biblical balance that we see. Even in our churches today, so often the churches have failed in the idea of having a balance. Some churches you will go into and you'll hear every Sunday and every time you're there that they'll be teaching about soul winning. We need to go out and win souls. Is that bad? No. But there's no Bible teaching. And if I'm going to be a soul winner and I'm going to be active for the Lord, I need to know the Word of God, that it will help me in reaching out and touching people for the Lord Jesus Christ. Vice versa, you can go into other churches where you're going to get nothing but Bible teaching, Bible teaching, Bible teaching, and never any emphasis on going out and reaching souls for Jesus Christ and being a witness for Him. We need to maintain a balance within our hearts, a biblical balance within our hearts and our lives of what God would have us to do. You see, Joshua obeyed the precept and exceedingly abundantly above all that he thought, realized the promise. He looked to his God. He looked to what God had for him. And I think the secret of Joshua's success was his faith in the Word of God, its commandments, its promises that he had there before him. Number 5 is found in verse 8. Saturate yourself with the Word of God. Saturate yourself with the Word of God. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Meditate day and night. How much time do we spend in the Word? How much time do we spend in meditating? I always give the illustration of my grandfather, who was, when I was young, a young boy, and I was in the choir and singing in the choir, and after the service would have over, I'd go back to my grandfather and talk to him about he was sleeping during the message. And he always gave me that famous answer, I was just meditating. I've seen a lot of people meditate in my lifetime, I'll tell you, I suppose. And I think of people, sometimes their head goes back, always just meditating. And you know, we don't meditate enough. We don't meditate in the Word. We're not saturating ourselves with the Word of God. In fact, sometimes we're afraid of getting just damp is good enough, okay? I don't want to get saturated with God's Word. I just want that dampness in my heart, my life. But it says here, meditate day and night. That means my waking thoughts should be in the Word of God. As I get up in the morning and as I said, Lord, what would you have me to do today? That's the first thing my thought ought to be. And then something from the Word of God, some challenge that he might have for me at that time. My final thoughts of the day as my head hits the pillow and as I go to bed at night should be meditation upon the Word. Having trouble sleeping? Start meditating on God's Word. Now, I'll challenge you, because the devil will try to keep you awake. He doesn't want you to meditate on the Word. But you meditate on the Word of God. That's focusing. That's saturating myself with the Word of God. How much time, and this is a question not just for you, it's for me also. How much time do we spend in the Word of God in a week? Any time that's ever been said or that's ever been challenged to me at the time, I start, you know, I want to be very positive about myself. Well, I, and I'm not honest with myself. But we need to be honest with ourselves. How much time do we really spend in the Word of God in a week? Compare the time spent in watching TV, reading the newspaper, looking at books, being on the internet, being on Facebook. How much time have I spent there? I have been guilty in my heart, my life, and I many times had to confess to the Lord at night, because when I would go to my bed at night and I would go to sleep and I started talking to my Lord, and I would think, Lord, forgive me. I just didn't have time to be in your Word today. Was there ever a time that that was really true in my life? There's always time for the Lord. I need to saturate myself with the Word of God. And instead of saturating within that, we can be alarmed at getting damp. How can I know the will of God if I don't know the Word of God? Back in the book of Psalm 119. You can keep your finger here then later. We'll come back to this in just a little bit. But right now, Psalm 119. Beginning in verse 9 through 11. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Saturate yourself with the Word of God. Number 6. Back to Joshua 1:8. Develop an obedient spirit at the end there. He says, thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Remember Joshua at Kadesh Barnea. We're going to turn back there, but in Numbers chapter 14, in verses 7 to 10, and he and Caleb came back from searching out the land, and they said, we need to go in and take the land. And everybody else will say, oh no, there's giants in there. We can't go in and take that land. We'll all be destroyed. We look like grasshoppers compared to those giants. And Joshua and Caleb says, no, God's already prepared the land for us. It's the land that we need to go in, and we need to take at that point in time. Even with an incensed crowd, one thing about Joshua was this. He was going to obey God. That's a good lesson for us to learn. Even with when it's going to maybe upset somebody else, or somebody's coming and say, no. Be obedient toward the God. That's the most important thing in his heart and his life. And Joshua had this obedient servant or obedient spirit because of the strong faith that he had. If you get back there, and we're not going back to Numbers 14 today, but if you get back there, you know God's judgment of the Israelites because of a lack of faith and what happened to them at that time. They didn't get that land. They wandered then for a long time because they refused to do it when Joshua said, let's go do it. You know, men today may read the word and even believe the word, but fail to obey the word. We have to have an obedient spirit. Now go back to Psalm 119. I said keep your finger there, and we're going to read some verses there. Verses 1 through 8. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart. When I shall have learned thy righteous judgments, I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Go to verse 33 of this same chapter, please. This whole chapter, of course, built on the Word of God. Verse 33. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servants, who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. Verse 59 and 60. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. Verse 97. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep thy word. See all those things there in Psalm 119, and we could go to other passages of Scripture and see it, and see the goodness of God. I need to have an obedient spirit. If I'm going to be successful, if my way is going to be prosperous, I need to have an obedient spirit in my heart, in my life. And then the last one, number 7, is found in verse 9. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Simply this, leave tomorrow in the Lord's hands. Leave tomorrow in the Lord's hands. Give it to him. The command was from God. Have not I commanded thee? God is saying to Joshua, listen, I've sent you a command. Leave things in my hands. When all the things that are before us and say, what am I going to do? How am I going to handle this? What am I going to do about it? Leave things in God's hands. God is almighty. That means he can take care of tomorrow as well as today. He can take care of next week. He can take care of next month. God is almighty. He's all-powerful. There isn't anything he can do. And so my trust, my confidence has to be in him. You know, I don't know whether it's on his communion table. I didn't look to see whether it was, but often on a communion table, on the front of the communion table, it will say this. Why worry when you can pray? Good thing. But you know it's been turned around? Why pray when you can worry? And so often that's what we do. We don't leave things in God's hands. We worry about things rather than saying, Lord, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I don't know how this is going to come about, but I'm trusting you for all things that you will do. All your anxiety, all your care, bring to the mercy seat. And this is the hardest part. Leave it there. Leave it there. Leave it with God. He's capable of taking care of that. I was visiting in a home not too long ago. Well, probably now it's probably close to a year ago. And I was visiting a home of the Ackers. And they had a little sign up above their fireplace. And I just loved it. It said this, don't worry about tomorrow. God is already there. And it just touched my heart so much. And I talked about it enough that somebody, Linda Jones, one day I came home and there was a package at my house. And I opened it up and there's the sign. And I put that right by my fireplace where I could look at it and where I could see it and be reminded all the time. Don't worry about tomorrow. God is already there. He already knows what tomorrow holds. He already knows what's there for us. That we can put our faith and our trust in him. Leave tomorrow in the Lord's hands. Well, just a little review here quickly. First of all, I need to have a servant's attitude is the first thing if I'm going to be prosperous for God. I have to have a biblical perspective in my life. I need to place my confidence in the Lord. I need to maintain a biblical balance. I need to saturate myself with the Word of God. And I must develop an obedient spirit. And finally, I must learn to leave tomorrow in the Lord's hands. Joshua, you're going to have great success. That's what the Lord told him in this chapter, Joshua 1. This is where your success is going to come from. This is what's going to make you to be prosperous in all that you do. And then he had that promise, I will not leave thee. I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. What confidence we can have in God. What trust we can have. And what a prosperous thing to look forward to in our lives each day as we apply these things in our own hearts and our lives. Let's bow our heads in prayer, shall we? Loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee so much for Your Word. We thank You for its truth. We thank You for what You've given us here, even in the life of Joshua, this great man of God who started out by being a great servant. Just saying, Lord, what would You have me to do? I'm willing, Lord. Here's my life. I'm giving it to You, and I want You to take my life and use it for Your glory. And as he went through all those things within his heart and his life and had this biblical perspective as he on his outlook in life and had all these things before him and trust all these things, knowing that God will never leave me, He will never fail me, He will never forsake me, I can have all the confidence in the world in my heart and my life as I go forward for God. Joshua had a difficult task before him. He was going to go there to Jericho. The problems he faced there as they won the victory and came back, and then Ai was just going to be an easy thing, and it wasn't, because it wasn't from a biblical stance. It was from what man could do. Lord, the lessons Joshua learned as he led the people of Israel, we need to learn in our hearts and our lives today, that we might walk with You, we might be those who are faithful to You. Continue to guide us through Your Word. It's not through what this preacher said this morning that counts for anything, but it's Your Word that counts for everything. And we need to apply the Word, meditate upon the Word, day and night, keeping it there, saturating ourselves with the Word of God that we might grow thereby. And we know, Lord, then in that, we're going to have great success. Not in what I think, not in what I can do, but it's in what my Lord can do and what He will teach me if I listen to His promises and I become have this obedient spirit before Him. So guide in our lives and work in our lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.